Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, good evening again. It's always lovely to be able to come and share with the church about Kivoli and about what's been going on. In a moment, I'm going to invite Isaac to come up and share with us tonight. But before I do, I wanted to share the story of how Isaac came to Kivoli in the first place. We knew Isaac. We met him when we were living, before we moved to our 5-acre piece of land. We were living, there were about 45 of us living on in a quarter of an acre compound in all these stone buildings that were next to each other. It was all very crowded, and the landlord had rented other rooms in these buildings. And Isaac's wife, Mama Judy, who we called, their youngest daughter is Judy. We met her first, so we named Isaac's wife Mama Judy. Our girls, Marley and Zoe, used to go over there and play with Mama Judy and their small girls. We used to see Isaac on the weekends. He was teaching at a school, leading a primary private school in a nearby town, and he would come back on weekends and we would meet him. So we didn't know him that well. We had more interaction with Mama Judy. Now, one of the Kivoli goals, which David touched on a little bit earlier, was to nationalise the project. And what that means is to raise up Kenyans and hand the project over to them, to actually have Kenyans running the Kenyan project. And we had employed a project manager called Anyembe, and he was doing a great job. And we thought, oh, wow, great. We've identified someone, which is really hard to identify good staff, and we're going to train him up, and he's going to be it. This is great. His family lived in the far western part of Kenya. We're in central Kenya, so he barely saw his family, and he found that very difficult. He was offered a job teaching really, really close to his home, and it was a job he couldn't refuse. So he resigned, and we were like, what? This is, what are we going to do now? And at the same time, I received a vision from God, and I saw this picture of Isaac with his family living in my house. It was our house in Kenya, and I thought, oh, that's strange. Why are they living in our house? We thought we were going to be there for 5 or 10 years, and then I thought, well, maybe God wants us to build a nicer house or a bigger house on the farm. That'd be nice too. So I had this vision. I thought, that's really strange. We don't really know Isaac very well, and I know he's employed, and so kind of left it. And then about a week later, Anne and I were talking, what are we going to do? I said, oh, it's very strange. I got this vision of Isaac in our house. And she said, oh, dear, you won't believe this. And I said, what? She said, as soon as Anyembe told me he was resigning, I got a picture of Isaac in my head, and I thought, oh, maybe God's trying to tell us something. And that Sunday, Isaac had invited me to his church to come and preach. So we thought, well, let's just run the idea by him, and we did, and kind of the rest was history. So he was really excited to be able to have the opportunity to join the Kivoli team. So it was a divine appointment, and we are really blessed to have him as part of the Kivoli team and to be able to head up the project. So Isaac, please come and join us. Would you welcome him? We're going to get to know you a little bit better. So can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. My name is Isaac, and thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm married to Esther. Esther is my wife, and I have 3 children. We have John, we have Catherine, and Judy. And when I married Esther, she had a little boy who is now 21. Yes, Catherine is 15, and Judy is 9. I turned 40 just the other day when I was here, celebrating one of my biggest birthday party in Australia. And I'm the project manager, Kivoli. I thank God for that opportunity. And the work I do there is from all the directives I get from this head, trying to harmonize everything happening in Kivoli to see that the well-set goals and objectives are achieved from one time to the other. And I also do the communication. Most of the time I'm networking with the people back in Kenya, in the community. I'm also a pastor in the church. I work for 5 days in Kivoli Project. And then I pastor a church on Sunday. And on Monday, I go to preach roadside evangelism, house to house, grazing fields, according to how Spirit will direct me. That's something concerning me. Thank you.
Okay, so what has God been doing in your life?
There are so many things, but I would mention probably when I got to IRIS to train as a missionary through your support. I thank God for that, giving you a big heart of love and good ears to hear and listen God. I trained in Mozambique. Mozambique is one of the nations in Africa. I was in northern of Mozambique, where actually most people are in great want. And I trained as a missionary there. And after that, I came back to Kenya. And the idea of going outreach every Monday was born after that. God spoke to me. And after that, when I came back to Kenya, he had told me he would give me people. He had spoken so much through friends and other prophets. And I have seen God doing it. Today, I've got a group of people who are right now doing the church work when I'm away, together with my wife. And they always accompany me going to preach whenever I go to places. And some are elderly. They are older than me. And actually, sometimes we really walk long distances. Karen knows that. She has been with me one day. And it has actually touched the heart of many people in the church. And they feel they need to go and reach the lost.
Okay, so you work for Kivuli for 5 days.
Yep.
And then you pastor a church for one day.
On Sunday.
And then you have one day off.
Yeah.
And that's the day that you go out on a Monday to reach the lost.
Yep.
So what does that look like?
It looks like when we go for the outreach, every morning when I pack my small bag, on the back I put a bottle of water and pray, Holy Spirit guides me where to go. And wherever I go, I have some people waiting. And there are many things that do happen. And to mention one, time we were with Karen, and we went and we did spread the gospel. Many people, several people accepted Jesus. And on our way back home, we saw a man seated in a grazing field. He had a panga. And then I felt we need to say hi to that man. When we approached him, he was a Christian, so we did not share much about it. Then we asked him, do you have anything we can pray for? He said, yes, my head is seriously aching. He had a lot of pain in the head, and we praised our heart on him. We were with another man and Karen and myself, and after prayers, this man wrinkled the eyes and says, yes, I'm okay. I'm well, I'm better. And we praise God for that. He stood up, took his panga, and started cutting the bushes and working what he was doing previously. Little did we know, he had sat down because probably he became suddenly ill, and he had said he used to have high blood pressure, but after prayer, he was all right. He was so much encouraged. And then still, as we walked further, the man who was with us, we saw a woman seated outside her home compound, you remember? And this man told us, we need to greet that mother. She had 2 children. And then she was a Christian. And when we were with her, we asked her whether she had anything we could pray for. And she told us, yes, I would want you to pray for my husband to come, because a few days ago he left. And he has called saying he will not come back, which is so sad. And she did not have anything to eat and to feed the children. But that day morning, as she was walking along the way, just the way somebody can just walk aimlessly, she met with a woman who was coming to visit her in the house and was carrying a container with grains of maize, which she received, boiled, and they had something to eat for lunch. But in the supper time or dinner, they had nothing. So as we prayed for her, I saw a vision of a man walking into this compound in a black jacket and a black small bag on the back and in brown shoes. And then after prayers, I spoke about the vision. And then Karen was convinced by God to give her something to buy supper, and we left. The following morning, I received a call, and this call was from a friend nearby where we were, and she was just passing a short information. Tell Pastor Isaac. After they left, my husband came the way he appeared in the vision. We praise God for that, and we are very much encouraged. Yep.
Exciting testimonies, aren't they? Many of you will remember last year, at the end of last year, we sent Isaac as a church. We sent Isaac to Iris Ministries in Mozambique for approximately 10 weeks, and he received training. So Isaac, I'm sure the church congregation would love to hear a little bit about your experience at Iris and perhaps what most impacted you whilst you were there.
All right. When we were in Iris for the training, we were with this director called Heidi Baker and her husband, Roland Baker. They ran a very big missionary school in Pemba, which has missionary students across the world. During our time, Harvest School 19, we were 350, and these students had come from 42 different nations across the world. And the training was basically on spreading the love of Christ and stopping for one person, as it appears in the parable of Good Samaritan. A person who is in need, your neighbor. And we were being trained on how you can probably meet the need of a person and also give them an eye-opener of what they can do to sustain themselves for the rest of their life, because probably you may not meet their needs all throughout their lives. Probably training them how to do farming, training them how to do small chicken farming, something like that, which is very nice. We also had training about respecting the culture of people and studying the culture, how you can go to people with different culture, and you don't need to go to school to learn their language, but you live with these people, eat what they eat, sleep the way they sleep, live like that. We had a different life down there, because actually in the most of the villages, people did not have very smart beds, as I have seen in one of the places I've been here visiting. I've been sleeping on a very nice beds. And you live the way they live, eat what they eat, and learn from them. Then take the advantage of that culture to spread the love of Christ. And we had some practical training. We'd go to the villages and pray and share the gospel of Christ. We were in organized groups. And we had a program called Bush Bush Outreach, which happened every weekend. We, with the open trucks, we could drive very far interior. And one time, there were so many things happening, but there's one time we could just gather after the training and then pray in the group, and they listen to what the Spirit is telling you, where to go, and we could go. And one time we went and found a mother with a child which had high fever. When we just touched the face, we could hear the temperature was very, very high, and the mother did not know what to do. So we just asked them whether we could pray for the child, but she had seen us pray for another woman, and we praised our hearts on this sick baby. And after prayers, we all felt the temperature went down and the baby was calm. We praised God for that. We also being surprised how God works through very, very fast. It is amazing. Then we also went to the Bush Bush Outreach. We met our family seated. These people like sitting together. They have a lot of sharing, and most of them, those who do not have anything to do, they just sit aloud and gather and share stories and like that. And there was a girl with a swollen leg around the ankle, and she could not walk. So as we asked, we could get the interpreter, they told us she has been just been brought here, sitting down, she cannot walk, and she had a walking stick. Then we asked them, can we pray for you? And she said yes. As we praised all our hands and prayed, this girl just woke up and started walking, limping slowly, but walking. which was a great progress according to the family people, and we are surprised too. And we also praise God for that. We had also been told about preaching to the Muslims because they are there in the villages. And preaching to a Muslim, sometimes there can rise argument and confrontations. So we had been told you don't confront them. But if you get a chance to pray for them, we had been trained basic language. Like, remember, Urari Prati, can I pray for you? In Portuguese. And they accept. Using your English without interpreter, just ask Jesus, Jesus, reveal yourself to this person through dreams and visions and through audible voice that they may come to you. And we witnessed that in one service in the church in Pemba, a Muslim standing and saying, I had a dream. I saw Jesus calling me out of my bed to go and serve him. And then I decided to come here and know about the salvation. And he accepted Christ and he got saved. But when he went back to his disciples, they rejected him. And his family too chased him out. He had a wife and two children. But Heidi Baker is another person like you people with a big heart to accommodate everyone. Took the whole family, gave them a house somewhere, and took this Muslim, because he was a preacher of the Muslim, took him to Bible school. And it was great love. We witnessed that. There are many more. Thank you.
That's awesome. I'm sure you're all very encouraged right now. And it's just great to see the fruit of the church's obedience in giving to send Isaac to Mozambique. It's been awesome to see what God's done through it. Isaac, can you tell us what God has been doing in and through Kivuli?
In Kivuli, I was just saying the previous service that I wish everybody here had just some wings. You just fly and come to Kivuli and get a time to socialize with these kids. Because these kids, they wear happy faces. But years ago, or at least one time in life of these children, they could not afford that. Precisely because they had nothing to eat, no good clothes, no going to school, and the families are not actually good. But in Kivuli, it is like a center of love. They come and they find love. They are feeding well. They are socializing. They pray. They go to school. They have good clothes. People come, buy them shoes. They have everything. They get this, you see? So they see life changing. And you find them that if you ask them, what would you like to be? They always tell you big, big things. That's just amazing. Meaning that they now see their hope of becoming a better person. It's there. It's real. But many years ago, that one could not probably have come to their mind. So this is happening in Kivuli through all the help that comes from this aid and reaches the people up there. And their families too are very much encouraged because these children come from different backgrounds. Some are sexually harassed, complete orphans, others with very poor families, others their families are very poor and they are HIV positive too, a disease that is really killing many people in our nation. And when they see their child is growing well, they are also very happy and encouraged. Also, I would like to mention about one girl who really touches me so much, because she is ever happy playing with other people. When other children leave and we look for a foster parent for her, she is okay, she's all right, she has no problem, because she has nowhere to go, simply because she had a rape case by her dad, and her mother had passed, and the grandmother, that is the mother to her father, was so bitter, because she caused her son to be jailed for years. And she was looking for any chance to terminate the life of this girl. And the chief alerted the people concerned, and this girl alerted to Kivuli. And there she is, a very happy girl, and she has forgotten all that was happening. There is also another boy. Their mother just locked them in the house, and they disappeared up to date. And the landlord came and blocked the door and walked out these children out. The bigger brothers got some other job to do, but two young children. A girl was taken by a neighbor, but the boy had nowhere to go. And this boy just wandered around, and he finally, through good luck and good neighbors, he landed to Kivuri. And today this boy is very happy, and we are very much encouraged to see his brother. We located his older brother, who is now married, and he was very happy to come to pick him during the holiday, stay with him. When school opens, he brings him back. We are very much encouraged. But before, he could not do that, because where could he take his young brother? Such kind of problems. Again, the community is very happy because the Kivuri has is kind of a resource center. Children from neighboring school come to learn about solar energy. They come to learn about biogas. We have got dairy cows. We use the pool to prepare biogas to cook in the kitchen as fuel to avoid wood. And the community also come to learn how to do some farming. The extension office for agriculture, it has already carried about one training showing the farmers how to grow some fodder crops and how to store them. And they are very happy. From the same community, we have sponsored 5 unemployed youths. There are so many of them, some from very poor families. And probably one factor or one reason to the other did not made them not to go to any college. And we helped them to train driving, a class called BCE, training to drive small vehicles and the lorries, where they start a chance to be employed. It is an important course in Kenya, and they are very, very happy. I was just thinking, if we post a question in Kivuri around the community and ask them, would you like Kivuri to relocate, to be taken somewhere else? And then we go to another place where who have heard about Kivuri, and we pose a question, would you like Kivuri project to come and establish here? There would be 100% vote for no, where we are, and 100% vote for yes, where they want the project to go, because actually it touches them through empowering, coming to for daily casual work, get to daily wages. The carpenters who have been working with Daniel, they gain new skills. And actually, in the Kivuri project, we call D Great Mother and Dan Great Dad. Thank you.
I just want to add to Isaac's story about the girl who was defiled by her father, and he went to jail about 18 months ago. She came to me and Anne, and she said, "Aunties, that's what we called aunties. I've had a vision from God. It was an open vision." She said she could actually see it, and she saw. Her grandmother was sick. This is the grandmother who wants her dead. And she said, "My grandmother's sick and God wants me to go and pray for her." Now, the chief had told us she's not to go back home because they could poison her, or that they really don't want her alive. They're very bitter because she shamed her father in their eyes. And we were a bit, "What? You want to go and pray for this lady who's put you through so much trauma?" And she said, God wants me to go and pray for her. I know she's sick." She had no way of knowing that her grandmother was sick. And so we prayed about it, and Anne and myself and the social worker at the time went across, and the family was very surprised to see us there, and she hadn't seen her family in several years. And we walked in there, and sure enough, her grandmother was unwell. She hadn't walked for 9 months, and she had terrible pain in her leg. And we went there, and she prayed for her grandmother, and then we simply left. And it just shows the transformation in these children and in this girl, and the love of Christ in this girl. You would see her and wouldn't think she's been through any trauma at all. She is bright and bubbly. She's got a smile bigger than Isaac's. If you can imagine it, she's just beautiful, and it's a great display of the love of God. Now, Isaac, our time is coming to a close, but is there maybe, can you tell us the one big thing God's been challenging you on or talking to you about recently that we can be supporting you in prayer about or for?
Okay, thank you very much. The time I've been here and the time I came, I've just seen as if God wanted me to meet with different people, share the testimonies, and also particularly meet with Pastor Rod, Tim, Corizon, and Arando, and the time we have been having them sharing, and I have been asking questions, and no question I asked that was unanswered. I had all of them answered, and many things have been coming to my mind. As you continue praying, I would want you to pray. You pray for me that God uses me and enable me to continue discipling the staff so that they can also disciple children who will be coming through Kivuri, and also continue discipling the children. And I would also love to see myself going to the outreach probably one afternoon on Saturdays with the children and a few staff to the community and share the gospel of Christ. And also experience the miracles, because I do believe they can also happen around the Kivuri and within the community. Our children, we have got a good networking with the church nearby. We've got a pastor, Mwaura. Pastor Mwaura is a very good pastor who comes also to just to visit our children and encourage them, which is very good. And our children also have got, we've got Karen. Karen came and God told her to buy each of them a Bible. And they study their Bibles. They love it so much. Thank you so much, and God bless you. And also, we've got the pastor. You can see the, most of them have undergone baptism. Most of the baptism, there is immersion in the river. And they feel they are getting connected to God. And we are very happy about that. And thank you very much. May I just thank everyone here for every support that comes through. You really do great work. God be with you. Amen. Thank you,
Isaac. I'm going to give him a hand. Now, that is just like a snippet of Isaac's story. Isaac has many, many stories. And last night he was sharing with Dan and I and my sister and brother-in-law, and he shared one story for half an hour and we were just fixated. So he's hanging around after the service, so I encourage you to have a chat to him, ask him questions. He's got lots of stuff to share. And if you're going to men's breakfast or the trivia night next Saturday night, you might hear a bit more. There are various ways you can get involved in Kivuli. One is prayer. I would encourage you all to continue praying for the project. It is powerful. So thank you for those who are praying currently, and we'll continue to do that. Financial support. We are an aid and development organisation and a mission agency. There are ways to support evangelical activities, non-tax deductible, and ways to support aid and development work, which is tax deductible. We've got a table out there with some flyers, information of how to do that, whether it's ongoing sponsorship or one-off donations. We accept it all. We also have a gift catalogue, so you can, I don't know if you've heard of the, you know, Oxfam do it and a lot of the other charities do. So in lieu of a gift, you might buy a goat or a month of high school education, things like that. There's a whole range of that in our gift catalogue. And if you want to come along to our trivia night, we do have a couple of tables and spots still available. So that's next Saturday night. Before I finish, I just wanted to share a bit of a reflection. Dan and I and the girls, we came back at the end of last year. And since being back, it's caused me to step back and take a look at Kivuli from a distance. Being there, you know, you get busy and you walk around. But to actually stand back and reflect on what's been done. And especially when we were there, Karen and I spent 10 days there in April on one of our board monitoring visits. And I was walking through the Shumba, which is the farm, we call it Shumba, early one morning I got up and I was just walking through, looking around and reflecting on thinking about all the children that are there. And I was just so overwhelmed and amazed at what God has achieved through Kivuli in, you know, just over four years at the time. 4.5 years ago, God spoke to an ordinary, very ordinary Australian couple with a one-year-old daughter and asked them to move to Kenya. Dan and I weren't expecting it. To be honest, we had no idea what we were doing. We were seriously unqualified. We were untrained. We had no, you know, background in this. To us, it was ridiculous to think we could just up and move to Kenya. Anne, who you saw on the video, and for those who were here 2 years ago when she came out and you had the opportunity to meet her, we barely knew her. We'd met her once, and she was the only person we knew who was kind of heading up or looking after these children that were left displaced after their previous project or school closed. So it sounded ridiculous, but we were convicted by God that he wanted us to do this. And we knew that God was trustworthy. We could have really easily stayed in Melbourne. It's not our problem. You know, we're here. But we chose to say yes to God when he called us. We chose to be obedient to God's voice. And as a result, Kivuli was birthed. It started as a small home with 36 children, a couple of white people and a handful or a collection of Kenyan staff. Now it's a project that's impacting 55 children, their families, and a whole community. We've got 5 acres of land, and we've got buildings, we've got animals. It's really grown. God chooses to use his people to do his work. God could do it very, very easily on his own. You know, he speaks a word and, you know, there's light, as Marley always reminds me of. But he chooses to partner with his people to do his work. But it requires our obedience to him. And it's amazing what he can do through his people when we just say yes to him. Now, you might be thinking, that's great and this is an amazing story and wow, like, look what God's done. But we're not all, you know, I'm not called to go to Africa and move overseas and become a missionary. Well, that's true. We're not all called to go to Africa. We're not all called to go overseas. But we are all called to be missionaries. In the passage, in the Bible passage that was read tonight, Jesus commissions his people to go. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, because I have the authority and I've got it, therefore, go, make disciples. For Dan and I, that meant making disciples in Kenya for 4 years. But now we've been called back to Melbourne and our commission is the same. Isaac calls himself a missionary. He's in Kenya. He has a full-time job as a project manager. He pastors a church and he chooses to use his time on his day off to go out and reach the lost. He's a missionary in his country. God might be calling you to pack your bags and move overseas. He might be calling you to move to the country or move interstate. But he might simply be calling you to go up to the pines, knock on your next door neighbour's door. He might be calling you to love the person in your workplace and engage with them. Being a follower of Jesus requires us to act. It's action. Therefore, go. Do something. Go and make disciples. Dan and I prayed a very, very simple prayer in 2006 when we were having a moment with God. And that prayer simply said, God, we're here and we're willing. Use our lives. Whatever you tell us to do, we'll do it. We'll go. And then in 2010, when God told us to go to Kenya, we were like, oh, goodness me, this is too much. And God said, hang on, remember 2006? You told me you'd do whatever I'm calling you on it. And so we said yes. Now, the same question was relevant. It's still relevant today. And last year, September, we went back over to Kenya. We were still fighting for work permits. We thought we were going to remain there for years to come. And that was our heart. We wanted to do it. But God was calling us to go back to Melbourne. And we had to be obedient and say yes and stop fighting him to stay in Kenya, but to say yes, we'll go. He's calling us back here. So I want to ask the question to us this morning. Have you truly said to God, I'll do it? Do you love Jesus enough to say, all right, Jesus, I'll do it, I'll go? And to say yes, if he calls you, in the big things, in the small things. When you ask the question, God, what am I doing today? Do you mean it? No, what are you doing today? And how can I be a part of it? If he says, do this, will you say yes and be obedient and go? And if you say yes, I guarantee you, you won't regret it. And it's not always easy. In fact, often it's really hard to say yes. But when you say yes, you won't regret it. And you will be in awe and amazed at what God can achieve through you, little old you.
Darkness, you